Well, now, when I started hanging around the Methodist Church, I heard a saying that I thought was kind of unusual, but I began to hear it over and over again, and I kind of grew to like it. It says, when we met, we ate, and when we ate, we met. Methodists are known for their hospitality. And I know that Bethel and some of the other churches I've been in are sometimes known for their good cooking. We gather together for fellowship dinners. We have covered dish suppers. We have dinner on the grounds. We have wonderful social events. And in this church and a lot of our smaller churches, we take time to turn to our neighbor and welcome each other with a hand of friendship or a hug or whatever's appropriate. We have that gift of hospitality. Christ is speaking to his disciples saying that gift of hospitality is important. Amen. It's important to reach out as a family, to open our doors, to open our arms, to open our activities to people. Because all people are God's people. He made all of us. Some of us are not living the life that he would like us to, but where better to receive instruction as to how to live a better life than in the church? And some of those folks out there don't believe in him, but he must still believe in them because they're still here. I've told a few people that. They said, oh, I don't believe in God. And I said, well, I guess he believes in you. You're still here. They kind of looked at me funny. But that's okay. Some people don't want to accept his forgiveness, don't want God as Father, don't know what to do about these preachings, these teachings, these religious stories that they hear. They don't like organized religion. Or maybe they prefer the preaching that they get on TV. There's probably some preachers on TV. They're way better than I am. Y'all keep coming and listen to me. Thank you. But it's in this family, in this community, in this hospitality that we have together, in this sharing of the family of God, that we come close to that sharing, that family of God, that kingdom of God that we look forward to. Oh, I'm not saying this is a little slice of heaven, but when you go out there in the world, this is a lot more heavenly than a lot of places out there. And I'm not saying everybody at Bethel is perfect, because I'm not perfect, and I have a suspicion that some of you are not either. But that's okay, because if he had made us perfect, we wouldn't need him. And we need him. We need each other. We need to be part of this family. We need to be part of this church. We need to reach out to each other at times, and we need to reach out for help at times. I know somebody recently said to Shirley that they thought sometimes people took advantage of us. And I agree. Sometimes people do take advantage of us. We try and be generous, and sometimes we get a little carried away and we do things trying to help that maybe don't help. But if we realize that it's not helping, then we stop. You know, you see somebody on the side of the road and you think, wow, they look like they're having a rough time. I'd like to help them. But you never know whether giving them a buck is going to help them feed themselves or help them to buy another six-pack. So we do the best we can. I would rather be the kind of person that opens up their home, opens up their arms, opens up their heart, opens their church in hospitality and tries to welcome people in hopes that they will get what they need, in hopes that they will get better, in hopes that it will bless them, in hopes that it will benefit them, than to be the kind of person who says no. Because I worry that if I say no, he might say no. And when I get to his house, I want to be able to knock on the door and say, hi, remember me? Can I come in? And be welcomed. So I try and be welcoming. Yeah, we're human. Yeah, sometimes we get taken advantage of. Sometimes we help in ways that really isn't helping. I had a friend, I used to borrow money from me occasionally, and for a while there, I thought I was helping. And then I began to notice that it wasn't doing any good, and he kept coming around asking for more money. So finally I said no. He doesn't seem to be any better off than he was for the help I gave him, or any worse off than he was for my not helping. Do I resent the fact that he took money and it didn't help? No. I gave it freely. But I'm disappointed that I couldn't help to change his life because he doesn't seem to be doing real well. His family isn't doing real well. I've invited him to come and join us, but church is not for him. So, sorry I can't help anymore. If I had the wisdom of God, I would know what to do and what to say. And I try and share that wisdom with people as I can. But I don't know if what I'm saying is right. I try and share that hospitality when I can, but I don't know if it's going to make a difference. How many times have you given somebody a buck, given them a hand, given them a good word, and never heard from them again? Don't have any idea whether it did anybody any good or not. But every once in a while, we get a message. We hear back. We find out what happened. It's been a few years now, but one Christmas day, I'm sitting at the table, and I mean, I'd eaten way too much turkey. So I'm not moving very fast. And the phone rings. And I get up, and it is a long-distance call from Indonesia. I didn't even know that I knew anybody in Indonesia. Turned out it was someone that I had met at Florida State. Young woman who had come here to go to college, and I was going back and finishing up my degree, and I had a pickup truck. Any of you guys have pickup trucks? I've seen signs on some pickup trucks that say, no, I will not help you move. Well, I don't have one of those on my pickup truck, and she said, could you help me get some furniture? I have a new apartment. I don't have anything to put in it, just the suitcases I brought when I came to Tallahassee. And I said, sure. What do you need? And she's going to go over here to the secondhand store, and I found some stuff, and I can afford it. And I said, yeah, I'll be glad to do that. So we went and got her furniture and loaded it up and took it over her apartment and hauled it upstairs and put it in her apartment. It wasn't very fancy furniture, and it wasn't a very fancy apartment. But in the process, we were talking about the world situation and what was going on in the news. And at the time, I think the Gulf War was going on, and she was saying how much she admired that fellow who was running Iraq at the time. And I thought, ooh, I don't have much admiration for him. But, you know, we continued to talk. And I just tried to talk to her about what I believed, and that I was a Christian, and that, you know, the reason I was doing this for her was because God loved me and people had helped me out, and I was just trying to return the favor in God's name. She looked like somebody who was in need. I knew she wasn't a Christian by that time, but it doesn't matter. She was in need, so I was trying to help. I was trying to be a good person, a good Christian. Well, lo and behold, she called me up on Christmas Day to tell me that she had become a Christian in Indonesia, the biggest Muslim country in the world. Not an easy thing to do, not a popular thing to be. But something I had said, something she had seen in me, had touched her heart. God had used me. I don't claim to be a great speaker. I don't claim to be, you know, somebody who can go around and, oh, change. I wish I could. But something touched her heart, and I found out that something I had said had made a difference in somebody's life. That many years later. Wow, what a blessing. Not just a blessing for her, certainly it was a blessing for her, but a blessing for me to know my words had made a difference. I don't know if any of you get the Voice of the Martyrs magazine. Don't necessarily agree with everything that's in there, But I find it fascinating because it's news from these places around the world where Christ is not welcome. Christianity is not acceptable. In some places, the church is illegal. People go to jail for giving somebody a Bible or talking about Jesus Christ or doing things that we don't even think about in our world. Whoever welcomes you welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. Tell people about the Old Testament prophets and what they did and what they said and what happened. I was telling somebody the story of Jonah, and I said Noah. I stumble over words sometimes, and the church all laughed at me. Boy, I felt about this. But there's great stories in the Old Testament about prophets and people who spoke up, who went out of their way, who suffered for what they believed in. And whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward. A cup of water, a good word, doesn't seem like a big thing. A welcome, a hug, a hi, a open door, a friendly chat, a cup of coffee. Simple, little things, but done in the right way for the right reason. We think about how wonderful it would be to be like the Old Testament prophets, to hear God, to be able to speak for Him. Well, it says if you tell people that you are speaking for Him. And we think about the righteous people who've gone before, the folks who are out here who planted this church and helped it grow and made it live and made it possible for us to gather here. But we are the ones that people will remember in the next generation that kept it here so that they could enjoy those things. Hospitality, love, friendship, caring, openness. Many times people come and visit our church and they say, oh, you have such a wonderful, friendly spirit. I just really like it. I'm going to come back. What a wonderful compliment. What a wonderful blessing. What a wonderful message. See, you can hear a better message on TV, but you can't share the family of God on TV. Now, I have heard people say, put your hands on the back of the television set and you can feel the power of the Lord. Well, not with these flat screen TVs anymore. But come to church. Sit here. Sing. Pray. Join us. And I think that's the power of the Lord. Amen. Amen.